This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Joining us on the show this morning is Shannon Lam. She is the founder of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue. The name KL Pooch Resort and Rescue also perfectly describes what they do because it is part animal resort with boarding facilities and ample space for dogs to run around and play. There's also a swimming pool for canines that love to get in the water, and the revenue that is generated from providing these services to pet owners then goes to funding the shelter portion, the rescue portion of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue, which houses a couple of hundred strays that may or may not ever get adopted. There's a lot to unpack here. KLPR is a self-sustaining non-profit organization, which means it operates like a business, and Shannon definitely employs that sort of entrepreneur's mindset, which we'll get into in a bit. But it doesn't utilize its profits like most businesses do because everything is channeled back to its mostly four-legged permanent residents. Before we get into the workings of the company itself, Shannon, could you paint us a picture of what happens at KL Pooch Resort and Rescue? It's part shelter, it's part spa, part rehab.
I like how you said that. Yeah. So glamorous.
Yeah, spa. And so how does that work? How does that work on a day-to-day basis?
Well, the adoption center is pretty much fixed because we've capped it at 207, mm-hmm. our numbers at the minute. So we have staff that feed and clean and primarily have responsibility for that part of the center. And my responsibilities would involve also overlooking the care of the adoption center, but then obviously also getting the intake of customers in for boarding.
Mm-hmm.
So I would look after the check-ins and check-outs, the grooming side of things, the swimming lessons and the gym lessons for the customers' dogs. Also, we do a pet transportation service for anyone staying with us. So that's something that we introduced as soon as we opened our new resort. So I've been busy kind of doing that as well. And aged care is a big thing for us because we've got an aging population of dogs that have been with us for a number of years since we started in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So those older dogs are maintained by myself. We take them out of the shelter environment, in inverted commas, because we find that once a dog is a senior, he or she may not cope very well with being amongst the boisterous liveliness mm-hmm. of, you know, the rescue side.
Yep, yep.
So we give them more private care in my own accommodation on site.
Okay, so it's mostly like a one-man show.
One woman show.
Yeah, one woman show. Yeah.
Well, not really. I wouldn't say that. The boarding section perhaps is driven by myself largely. But then we do also have the staff who stay there 24 hours a day. We've got four of those,
mm-hmm.
and they do the feeding and cleaning. So that's a big help.
Mm-hmm.
We have volunteers that come every couple of months too that help us wash the dogs, and they assist us with running events and promoting the center. Also, I just enjoy working with dogs.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
So I get to do something that I love every day. And we already look after lots of rescue dogs. So by the same token, we may as well look after your dogs and other customers' dogs,
mm-hmm.
And show them the attention and love while their families are away, and create an income for ourselves at the same time.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about how to like describe this business, like the perfect way to describe this, and I think it's a mixed breed business model.
Yeah,
just like a lot
we're
of
mongrels, all of us. Yes.
Yeah, just like most of the dogs that are there, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You spoke about like adoptions and stuff, and some of the dogs getting older. What mm-hmm. is the adoption rate like at KL Pooch? Like how many dogs get picked up?
Look, if we get a couple of dogs a month adopted, we're super excited.
mm.
That's in fact how rare it is, sadly.
Okay.
And especially since we've moved a little further out from KL.
Mm-hmm.
Before, when we were in Cheras. So last year was a pretty slow year for adoptions for us. However, this year it's picked up, and we've got a nice network of people that sort of recommend us to their friends that are also looking for pets, and that's really looking hopeful for us this year.
What's the biggest issue? Like people only want puppies?
It's not just that. It's also, I think, with the lack of space in KL, that's increasingly an issue. More and more people are moving into condos.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. Because they are moving into condos, not all of them allow pets. Some of them only allow very small pets.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Aravind, most of our dogs are street dogs, so they're medium to large and unsuitable for condo living. And you know, although the attitude is changing slowly, where people are willing to take on mixed breeds and mongrels, still a lot of people see dogs as a fashion item.
Mm.
And they want that cute, fluffy thing, or, you know, that Rottweiler that's going to add a bit of status for some reason.
Status symbols.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What's the cost of running the place on a monthly basis, like all in?
Regularly, our monthly expenses are around 25,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Considerable amount. And that's not including our medical bills.
Okay.
So that's just the running.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our medical bills on a great month would be 3,000. 3,000, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
Averagely, they're closer to 5 or 6K.
Yep.
And now in our worst months, they'd be about 11 to 12K.
Yeah, I mean, like anyone who's had a dog will know that medical bills are not fun.
Yeah,
for your animals, they are not fun.
Exactly. Especially with an older dog and you're trying to do everything that you can in your power to sustain that dog.
Supplements.
Yeah, everything just builds up.
Yeah. On a more personal note, you went to Australia when you were 8, right?
Yep.
Then you came back in 2011. So did you come back to Malaysia knowing that you wanted to do something like this? Like you know, like open a shelter, work
no,
with animals?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I'm embarrassed to admit that even though my family and I, we adopted many of our dogs in Australia from shelters, I never once volunteered at an animal center. Never once. I had always had a very keen interest in dogs. I considered being a vet when I was younger and then just decided I didn't want to put in the study, to be honest.
Too many years.
Yeah, too many years, too many science subjects for my liking.
Mm.
Yeah, so I'd always wanted to, I think, work with animals, but for some reason never volunteered there. I just took it for granted that people in Australia looked after their pets and that was it. So I eventually closed my business in Australia that I was running, looking for new opportunities. I came to Malaysia just traveling through and seeing what there was available here. And then I started volunteering and then decided to open KL Pooch. And that was it. I never had any forethought before that, before coming.
What changed? Like what happened during your, you know, when you were volunteering at the shelter?
I just realized from being at different rescue centers here that they face many challenges because of lack of funds. And that's not to say that people don't start things with the right intentions, but because of overcrowding and not knowing your own limitations and boundaries, and also having a lack of stable income, it makes you do silly things, right? It makes your decisions become very emotional. You are very stressed out. And then people stop focusing on the dogs. What they do is they start focusing on how can we cut costs and how can we get more money.
Yeah.
So it's a very desperate situation to be in. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people that start out in rescue and you see all these independent sort of rescuers popping up and independent shelters. And then after a couple of years, they're in complete disarray.
Yeah.
And everyone's asking, what do we do with all these dogs that they've got on their plantation? Or what, you know, how do we move these dogs? And they're in a worse state than they would be if you had left them on the streets. And I think that's really sad. So when I saw that happening, I thought, well, why don't we start up a model which could be self-sustainable so that we wouldn't have to start off really well and then find ourselves destitute after a couple of years? What if we could do that successfully with a business alongside a rescue center? And that's what we started.
So it's kind of full circle. You came looking for business opportunities.
Yeah.
You started volunteering.
Yeah.
Then you opened a shelter for dogs, and now you run it like a business.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, the biggest objective, and to be fair, I have personally lost sight a little bit over the years, and we're just coming back to it. Our main objective that we have to remember is to be a self-sustainable organization.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we envisioned it from the very beginning. Because we know that it's the only way to guarantee the security of the residents that we have. And that is our responsibility, is to the residents. I have to answer to the dogs that are with us now.
Yeah.
And through the years, when people call us up and send us pictures of dogs that are in pain or this accident victim and this paralyzed one, and, you know, you kind of lose sight of that goal, Aravind, where you feel so sorry at the moment, and just to alleviate the emotional guilt, you know, that taxes us, we'll go, okay, well, we'll take another dog in, and another dog, and another dog, and that's the reason why we have 200. But we've sort of forgotten that every dog that we take in, even though it may feel good at the time, it detracts from our objective, which is self-sustainability, because it adds to the expense. Yeah, and there's always going to be more dogs than we take in than are getting adopted every year. So with that in mind, this year we've been very firm about it. When people call us, the answer, unfortunately, is no, because we're not yet a self-sustainable organization. And every dog that we take in moves us further away from the objective and further away from that goal. So we have to keep them in mind. This year, we're really focused on how can we bring in more income? How can we get more dogs adopted so that we hit our goal of being self-sustainable by 2020? Once we achieve that goal, then we can start opening up the conversation as to what else can we do for the dogs out there.
That's actually what I wanted to ask you next, like that sort of like entrepreneur mindset, because that's how you would think when running a business.
Right.
Not so much a nonprofit, not so much a shelter, because if it's purely a shelter, then it goes back to what you said before, you know, injured dogs you take in.
Right.
A dog that doesn't have a home, even if there's like 5 or 6 puppies, you take all of them in.
Right.
Have you always been an entrepreneur at heart, that mindset?
My mom is an entrepreneur and she's my hero in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of that mindset comes from watching her go out and just hustling her whole life, right? Coming up with ideas, being a visionary in her own field. And also, you know, I'm a little bit of a risk taker, personally as well as, mm-hmm. as in business. You know, I like to try new things. I'm very curious. And I never really wanted to follow the crowd, so to speak. Yeah, and I think it's a little bit of that spirit as well that makes me sort of think, how can we do something differently? How can we do something more efficiently? How can we sort of stand out from the pack and do things better?
Okay, we need to pause for some quick messages, but Shannon Lam of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue is our guest on the show this morning, and we're getting into the work that comes with running a self-sustaining nonprofit that houses 200-plus dogs in its compound. Open for Business, we'll be back in a bit. BFM 89.9.
Begin Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
And we're back on Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and I'm joined this morning by founder of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue, Shannon Lam. And we're talking about the business of running a resort for dogs to sustain an animal shelter and rehabilitation center simultaneously at the same time in the same compound. Let's talk about the resort for a while. Like who's allowed to bring their pets there? Like what's the kind of what kind of criteria do you check off before they can, you know, take their dog for a swim or something?
It's very simple. Your dogs just have to be current with their vaccinations,
mm-hmm.
and their tick prevention. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, if your dog is aggressive, we can handle your dog. If your dog's extra large, we have space for your dog. If your dog's timid, we have 200 rescue dogs. I reckon we can handle your timid dog. Yeah, so that's the advantage that we have. We're not afraid of any dog. There's never been a dog that's come in that we haven't been able to leash and handle and treat.
Mm-hmm.
We're very happy to say there's never been a dog that's come in that we haven't been able to groom. And so I think a lot of owners use us and are faithful, you know, coming back to us every single time, because they may have been thrown out of 100 different grooming salons and 100 different, you know, boarding places because of their dog's problems and issues, but we love all of them, so they're all welcome.
And what's the response been like so far for the resort?
The good thing about being a little bit further out is what we found is we don't get so many overnighters,
mm-hmm.
so people that just check in and check out, you know, quickly. We get more people coming in for long stays, which of course is great for us in terms of the income, but it also helps us build a really solid relationship with that dog and get to know that dog over the course of 1-2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us get in some swimming lessons for that dog. You know, and like I said, we also get to do the pet taxi, pet transportations and added service and valued service for customers. So since we've moved, I think the initial concern was that because we are further out, is it going to take a toll on our business? And a lot of our supporters were also asking that question because they obviously want to see us succeed. And in fact, our move has been great. Our income this year is already, you know, we're doing better than where we are at the same place last year. As I said, we're getting the higher quality sort of customers. And people are really happy when they come out, really mm-hmm. happy, because our place is so much bigger. The dogs are happier. We're on a hill, so the breeze is great. The air is clean. It's a proper resort. It's what we always wanted.
You also have a rehabilitation center for injured dogs, a dog that need care like 24/7. What is that like? Like, can you tell us, you know, they need so much attention and they have issues with their health and they need, you know, care 24/7. What is that like on a daily basis, like dealing with cases like that?
It's like being a full-time mom, I guess. It's like having a crying toddler in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And any, you know, mom or dad out there would sympathize with me. And it is sort of a hard thing too, Aravind, because it's when you're looking after these dogs, you understand that they also have a very limited time with you, particularly when they're aging and they then need special care. And that's what I try and explain to people as well. It really is when we say that we're committed to a dog for the entirety of that dog's life, it's like having a best friend and then preparing yourself emotionally to lose best friends over and over again on a regular, consistent basis, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, and what that means is that when a dog is ill and needs special care, I take them into my personal home. You know, they get to live with me, and then, you know, in the middle of the night, they might need extra feeding. They might need me to assist them with water. They might need subcut fluids put in a couple of times a day. You know, they might also need, particularly with the paralyzed ones, the biggest thing for us is to manage their kidney, because if they have a spinal injury, they can't relieve themselves like a normal dog.
Mm-hmm.
So it means we have to physically express their bladder and to encourage their bowel movements every day. Yeah, so that is a very hands-on role, and all my workers are very familiar with doing that. So that means nappy changing and, you know, all that other stuff that comes along with babies, we do it all.
Again, this bounces back to the entrepreneur mindset. It's like anyone running a company has all these obstacles, and they sort of have to employ some sort of fortitude to pull through. So what kind of mindset do you employ to sort of get through that day to the next?
The biggest thing I can say for preparing myself to be in that mindset is to give yourself regular breaks. And I just realize when I am back home in Australia and not faced with the day-to-day so much, it is like taking a breath of fresh air and re-energizing. It's not until I come back that I understand the stress and the emotional burden that is the everyday. And it's not to say it's a burden that I resent, not at all. I'll gladly take it on. But it is coming to terms with just, you know, having a part of sadness with you every day that, mm-hmm. that some people doing other occupations may not have to face.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all about compartmentalizing, I suppose, your emotions and making sure that you just, even though some days are harder than others, to make sure that you just go through the motions. Because if you don't, there are 199 other dogs outside, okay, that rely on you to give 100% every day. So for me, a lot of it also is it's not just taking regular breaks away, but to take regular breaks throughout the day where I get to do things like I work out. So martial arts is an important part of my life and has been since I was 16. So I also make sure that I exercise. I make sure that I look after my diet. I make sure that I take time out to play a musical instrument, and all of these things help me stay balanced and emotionally sane so that I can deal with and then give the dogs back 100%. And with a lot of other people and friends that I have in this industry, I always try and encourage them to do the same because, you know, some of them can be martyrs for the cause, right?
Yeah.
In that, I haven't even had time to eat, or I haven't had time to take a holiday in 5 years because I've given this to, you know, to these dogs. And they just end up being really stressed. Now, if you're like that and you have that mindset, you can't possibly be the best for anyone around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your temper is going to be really short. Your energy is just not going to be there, and you're not going to give the best of yourself. I don't know how else to put it.
Do you get help? You mentioned volunteers just now.
Yeah.
Do you get volunteers on a regular basis?
Well, we get volunteers come in for a dog washing day every couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't need, the dogs are pretty clean because we feed them the raw food. They don't really smell or anything. And ticks are not an issue for us. We tick spray regularly. So we don't really need volunteers to come and wash dogs any more than that. But we also have a core group of volunteers that help us out with the events, as I mentioned. And we encourage people to send us a message on Facebook if you're interested in volunteering. I will ask, though, that if you are interested in dog washing, that you make sure you have experience before you come. Because there are so many dogs to get through for the day. So we want you to be confident. And the dogs have a sense, like, if you've never really been around dogs before, and that makes them very nervous. So if you would like to volunteer but you haven't got the experience, go wash your friends' dogs, you know, for a couple of months. Go see if you can spend more time with other families that have pets and familiarize yourself with dogs before you do put your hand up and volunteer with us.
Okay. What kind of challenges are you facing at the moment with KL Pooch, besides all the stuff that you mentioned before?
Oh, aside from all that.
Aside from all that.
As I mentioned, the biggest challenge for me personally is to keep the objective very clear and to stick with the objective, which is to make sure that we don't make any decisions that would detract from our goal of being a self-sustainable organization. The second thing is getting the word out there a little bit more about onboarding. We were very fortunate. We had a couple of friends and clients who came in and they did a video for us recently that they put on our YouTube channel, and that's been really great for us. That's had a new influx of customers. So what we'd like to do is, hey, if you're out there and you're listening and you're adept at social media or website design, please contact us, because at the moment there's only me doing all that stuff. So if you would like to lend a hand as a volunteer, it's not just the dog washing that we need help with. It's the social media side of things. It's the promotional side, the marketing side of things. So, yeah, please send us a message on Facebook.
Our guest this morning is Shannon Lam. She is the founder of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue. And she'll be back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Open for Business. We are talking dog resorts, rescues, rehabilitation, all the works with Shannon Lam, founder of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue, on today's show, as well as the sort of unique approach of employing an entrepreneur's mindset to ensure the success of a nonprofit setup. So for the adult dogs, you know, the ones that don't get adopted, they sort of become like permanent residents. They sort of pass their quote unquote like adoption prime, right? So each of them, so for them, you need to, you know, you need to get like an 8 to 15 year plan for each and every one of them, you know, that includes like meals and funding and medicines, you know, all the works.
Yes. In fact, that's also what we try to express to people that ask us to take dogs in. Mm-hmm. Every dog that we take in, we have to keep in mind that this dog could be with us for the next 10, 12, 15 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we just had someone ask us this morning and they said, well, I'd be willing to pay for their food. And I asked them, for the next 15 years, would you be willing to pay for their food and their medical bills, which will increase as they age?
Yeah.
You know, so we have to make allowances for that as well. So every dog that is with us, we look after until the end of their natural lives.
But even when it comes to adoption, like if someone walks in and says they want a dog, you have a few steps. You know, it's not just as easy as someone walking up to the shelter and saying they want to pick up a dog. You actually make sure interested adopters are fit to look after a new pet, right?
Absolutely. So the process for us really is people will contact us. Then I generally ask them, is there anything that they're looking for in particular, what their lifestyle requirements are? And because we are a little bit further out and I don't want to waste anyone's time, generally I will send them a few photos and profiles of dogs that I feel will fit what they want. And that's a big advantage, is that we know every dog inside and out. Even though we've got over 200, I know each one of them by name. I spent a significant amount of time with each of them and I know their personality. So I'm able to give the best recommendations based on what the customer requires. And then if they feel that there's a dog that I've recommended that may suit, they'll come for an initial meeting. We'll see how the energies mix in our center. And then once they select a dog, we home deliver. So we'll check out the customer's home. We'll make sure that the dog's going to be in a safe and secure environment, that everyone's still happy. And then we'll sign the adoption papers and the adoption is finalized.
Do you check up on the dogs after that, like after they've been adopted?
The easiest way for us to do that, because as you can imagine, with running the center for over 200, plus the boarding, plus the pet taxi and all the rest, it'd be impossible for us to physically house check all the dogs that have been adopted from us. So we set up our VIP program for that, just for that reason, so that customers would come back to us. So our VIP program basically is everyone that adopts from KLPR gets a VIP very important pooch card, not very important person, a very important pooch card.
Like a loyalty card.
Yeah, it's a loyalty card. So it lasts for the lifetime of that pooch, and they'll get 20% off boarding for the rest of the life of that dog. They'll get 10% off grooming and full use of our recreation facilities, our pool and our gym for the life of that dog.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that ensures that people will bring the dog back to us and then we can continue our relationship with them.
Any red flags that you find when someone wants to pick up the dog? Like, what do you look out for?
We charge an adoption fee. That's the first thing.
Okay.
So the red flag for us would be someone that's not willing to pay anything for a dog, which means that they either don't value that dog or they may want the dog for some, you know, some purpose, you know, that would misuse the dog in some way. Okay, so that's a red flag for us when people aren't willing to invest. The second red flag would be someone that calls and asks me if we have any purebreds for adoption. Okay, like just a tip for everyone out there. If you want to get people on the right foot when you call any center, any rescue center, please do not ask if we have purebreds or pedigrees for adoption. That would be the wrong way to start a conversation with us. Okay. So that would be another red flag for me. It shows me that the customer or client is more interested in the exterior of a dog rather than the dog's innate personality trait.
And they want to get it for cheap.
Yes, exactly. They're just looking for a bargain. They're not really coming to us to adopt for the right reasons.
Yeah.
The other thing is if a dog sort of mentions, if a prospective client mentions that they might want to chain the dog up or how long can I cage the dog, sort of questions like that. I mean, all those things we'll find out through conversation anyway, but yeah, it's another big red flag for me that the client may not be prepared to accept the dog as part of the family, that the dog may just be a convenient sort of security alarm and outside and put away when it's no longer in use. Yeah, we just want to make sure that if you're to adopt from us, you're going to give the dog a better life than they would have with us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, which makes sense.
Absolutely. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
And our dogs have a pretty good life with us, to be fair, for us being a rescue center. So we just want to make sure that if they're going to go with you, that you can provide for them and accept them as part of your family.
Besides the revenue that comes in through the resort and boarding facilities and stuff, you also do fundraisers on the side. Like you have to run fundraisers to sort of, you know, boost the income a bit.
Yes, we have a couple of different fundraisers that we run each year. One is around the middle of the year. That is a park event where vendors come and proceeds from everything that is sold that day go towards our rescue. Mm-hmm. And we have a Christmas event. So last year's Christmas event was a hoot, an absolute hoot. We had a couple of great performers come do charity work for us, and they sang some songs, and then we had a carol sing-along. It was just a really good night.
Okay.
We'll plan to do the same thing and bigger this year.
Nice. What are your plans for KLPR's future? Like something tells me that this isn't, you know, where it ends. Like this isn't the final form of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue. So you've got bigger plans for the resort.
Yes. What we'd like to do eventually is after we achieve our goal of being self-sustainable, we'd like to start a fund where any excess income that comes in, we're able to allocate to independent rescue groups as grants for the next year. So let's say if we have an excess of 50,000 that year, so we've covered all our own costs at the resort, we'd like people to write into us, and they might say, well, I've got a rescue project, a spay and neuter project in Ara Damansara, and there's 12 strays in a factory that I'd like to get spayed and neutered. It's going to cost us this much, for the operations. Then we've got to put them in the vet. So we need this allocation of funds. So we can go through all those individual cases and then allocate the funds out. To those rescue groups. So we'd actually like to start doing that because I think that, you know, not everyone has the ability to run a self-sustainable organization. They still need, they might be fully employed and they don't have time to run their own dog boarding or whatever, but they still need funds for different projects that they want to help out with. So we'd like to extend our reach and help the community that way. The other thing we'd like to start to do is educate kids in schools on proper animal care. Because that's the only way we're going to change the situation in Malaysia long term. We've got to start with the kids. If you want to change any point of view, any society, it's got to start young, right? So what we'd like to do is be able to take rescue animals into different schools so that the kids get to spend time with that puppy or that kitten, or that senior dog or whatever. So it becomes a more personal experience. The fear of animals is gone, you know. And then we can talk to kids about spaying and neutering. We can talk to kids about adopting instead of shopping at your local pet store or just looking for that pretty dog. All of that so that the kids get to nag the parents on what the right thing to do is.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I'm really excited about doing. You know, we don't just want to be that dog resort, that nice dog resort, that nice dog park. You know, we want to make sure that we're here long term and that we make a permanent change as much as we can.
Okay, I've been speaking with Shannon Lam of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue on today's show. You can check out www.klpoochresortandrescue.org if you're interested in volunteering or lending your expertise, which is another way of volunteering. Or if you're ready to adopt and give one of the many dogs at KLPR a forever home, you can reach out to them. Shout out to 24-Hour Travelers on YouTube. It's a YouTube channel who did a pretty sweet vlog of sorts, or video of sorts, of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue and their mission and what they stand for. You can go check them out as well. And if you miss any part of the show, you can always stream this episode again via the BFM website, which is bfm.my, on the BFM app, or you can find us under the podcast section on Spotify. We are there as well. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj with Shannon Lam of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.